are here the King of Kings. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for the screaming eagle calling us to spread our wings and fly. But Lord, as much as a person would spread the wings and fly, he needs a snow white dove to lead him. For Lord, we live in a world where there is so much haziness, a day that is neither day nor night. And yet, Father, with the screaming of the eagle, there is still a need, Lord, for the snow white dove to lead us, that we can follow that still small voice, to follow his leading to the place where the mighty Jehovah Eagle is calling from the sky. Lord, many times we are going about our Christian life, Lord, and with our opinions and our own ideology and thoughts and whatever. And if we do not stay in line with the token of thy word and thy spirit, Father, surely, Lord, we will not be going the way that we should. But we thank you, Lord, for the leading of this snow white dove to find our place in the very lovely Word of God, to be able to see as thou open our eyes to see, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your grace today. We thank you for your love. So as we approach thy word now, Lord, we pray that you bless us and open our hearts to the understanding of it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, when I first heard that song, I hear the eagle scream. As usual, you know, I said that one stanza is not good enough. So I wrote the second stanza. Because we need the leading of the dove. The eagle scream, but the dove leads. And that's why we have a problem today with a lot of people. You know, I myself, when I came into the message, because we heard about the eagle, this importance of the eagle, because we are living in the fourth stage of the grace age, the eagle, the four beasts. Remember, the last of the four beasts is the flying eagle. And we always talk about eagle and eagle and the message, things like that. And I heard back then, you know, how Brother Branham's face is like this, his eyes like that, he looked like an eagle, and then they talk so much about Brother Branham. Because the eagle has that eye. So everything so much was about Brother Branham. And you know, when we first print our book, we have an eagle. But it's when I heard that song that I realized that there's something that we're really missing. The dove. Because in one message, Brother Branham talks about the dove leads. Let the dove leads. And so that's why our logo in our book, you find that we have an eagle and a dove. And God granted me to be able to get that picture of a dove for our book. And actually, if you want to know where I got the eagle, that eagle belongs to a chocolate wrapper. And that company no longer exists. And I liked the way that eagle was, so I took that eagle. And I looked for the dove. Well, I found a dove, but it wasn't so good, so I draw a little on the dove to make the wings and things like that. So, make him, you know, leading the dove, the eagle. So when I heard this song, then I read the second stanza, saying, we have to let the dove leads. And when the dove leads us, then we have to stay in line. We have to stay in line. It's not about Father Branham, it's not about the codes. It's not just about the message, because nobody knows what the message is today. If you were to go to Google and Google it, about, you know, false prophets today, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, you have people talk about it, ex-Jehovah's Witnesses, how they came out, ex-Mormon, how they came out, they talk about it. And you type Brahminism, you find that there are men and women who said, I was a Branhamite and I came out of Branhamism. And these people are caught up in Branhamism was because they were in the wrong church. They were in the church that talk about ego, the Baptist prophet, the ego, the prophet, stay with the court, stay with this. And that's what happened. That's why, you know, the importance of things come out of Islam. Brahman did not create Islam. It's the people. But the general public out there in denomination, who do they blame? They always blame the leader. Is it not true? They don't care. Because these people are the follower of them, and so on and so forth. But today, you know, it's so hard for people to really see, even though they can say, why can't they see the message? I've talked to many of them here in Singapore, and talked to them overseas as well. Those who, when I was in the Philippines, though they came to me, who are not on the same side of the world, they are on the side of Brother Branham and his court. So was then in India, so was then in Africa when I went. They come and challenge, they debate, and so on and so forth. You're not a follower of Brother Branham like that. They keep on saying about this. Why is it so difficult for them to see? Now you and I, well, many of you have been trapped in that spirit before. Why is it so hard for these other people not to see, but we and I could see it? How the Brahma said, why can't the denomination, why can't the people see the message? Why can't they see that they are wrong in tradition? Because why? People are indoctrinated. And you're here today, as I said before many times, you are here to be indoctrinated. Not by me, but by the Word. And I always want to show you the Word. What the Word is saying. And if you cannot find it in the Word, don't believe it. That's what Brother Ben said. If what I said is not in the Word, don't believe it. But they say another thing. No, he's a prophet. He was just saying it to be humble. Prophet just saying to be humble. Either you are honest or you're not honest like infant. You think he said that to be humble? When he said, I'm a lazy person. No, he's not saying that. He said he has the truth. And Brother Branham said he has the truth also. But we want to deny it because we want to lift up that name. That's, you know, I always emphasize this. And so much so, you know what? Some people are still caught in a situation where they have a lot of fear. If you go to my website, go to look at the page, the section called testimony. You can see some of those sermons disappear. Why did it disappear? Over the years, those believers that posted their, or sister that posted their testimony, some of them wrote me an email and they testified, said, "Brother, I want to testify. You can put my testimony on the web." And after a few weeks, they said, "Brother, please take it up." I asked them why. Well, some would tell me the reason, some would not. Some would tell me the reason, and the honest one would tell me the reason. It's a program because I don't want my pastor to read about my testimony, and then, you know, he will say about me in the church, and there will be conflict between me and the other brother and believe in this. But you are in a church. That's Brother Mike. What is that? A fear of standing for truth. And there's one thing I cannot understand, brother and sister. There are men of Jezreel. So I think about 8 of the under was removed, or 7. Well, one brother, or 2 of them, they removed it, they rewrote it, and they put it back new ones. Now, your testimony, your faith, are you ashamed of it? If you are ashamed of it, then yourself will be ashamed of you. Yeah. You declare what you believe. Well, I happen to come across an article, and I also found out that it was on Netflix. I think it was on Netflix too. It is called The Heretics. When I read the article, it says that the movie is made of him. This man, his name is called Rob Bell. He was a pastor, one of the fastest growing church in America, Midland, in America someplace. In that city, the church grew very fast. Became mega church. You know what's a mega church? When you have a church that is 2,000 members and above, it's called a mega church. So he grew up to be such a big church. And you know what happened one day? I don't know. I didn't watch the movie. I just read roughly go through what he said briefly, what was written. Then he went to preach to the end of the pulpit and preached. And he said to the people, "There is no hell. There is no hell." And everybody in the church was shocked. And what then? He tried to prove on scripture. And he believed that everything will have to go back to God. So God is not sending people to hell. And his congregation will start working out. Working out. And I realized one thing. When the church gets too big, it's either about money or about trying to prove yourself to be somebody, or you get into sexual affair. Look at Cho Young Gi. You all know Cho Young Gi? You all know him? Yeah, well known. Korean pastor, one of the biggest church in the world. Membership. I think, if I'm not mistaken, right now, he's something like more than 20,000, or 50,000, or something like that. He started after the war with 5 members. And his preaching on the message was, "There's hope." And he stretched out, "Hope, hope, hope. Hope in God, hope in Christ, hope in the gospel, hope in the Bible," this and that. So people like to hear there's hope. Things are coming. They just have to grow. And community service would be helped. So just expand, expand, expand. They go out there and help the poor. People like it. They contribute. Businessmen start to contribute. Believer come and all this. It grew. Until about 10 years ago or so, I think, or 2000. I can't remember, about 10 years ago. Or certainly more. Maybe 2012, 2013, something like that. Or more, I can't remember now. But you know what? It was charged with embezzlement of almost $50 million. Money issue. But there also was scandal about sex. Whereas I've read an article, but I don't know how true that is. The woman must sleep with him, or else they're not pure. And things like that, I don't know whether that part is true. I don't know. I know that the scandal of the thing about embezzling the money, yes, he owed up to it. And yet here we have Singapore, City Harvest. Money issue, right? Well, I don't want to be church. Because I'm glad that nobody wants this truth that we have. I spoke to a Jehovah's Witnesses now, a couple of weeks ago. And today I give a book to a Syrian church, an Indian lady who lived in my block. But do you think it is easy for them to believe what we have? How is come that the Mormon church has grown so big? You know about Mormon? Joseph Smith? He's a con man. He's a con man. He can psycho a person to where they believe in him. About the power they have, they use only one who could see the book. Nobody else could. And that's what book was supposed to be, the Book of Mormon. And the priesthood was restored, and he was the high priest. And so on and so on and so forth. And then later on, he went and married his, a maid in the home, and the wife doesn't like it. Then he said, you want to pray and tell this woman in the church or the wife, the Lord told me that you as a wife, you shall shut up. You don't speak back. You don't say anything. So the men go around and the children, oh, believe me, stop. And so they even went up, and those who are ex-Mormon, one man on the YouTube man, said he was a descendant from that line of traced to Joseph Smith. And he said he left the church. He knows the history. Even how men sleep within the church in that community of Mormon. They sleep with another man's wife. How the thing happened. And that's what a cult is. A cult is there's someone who has power over you and hold you. That you should not do this, you should not do that. You listen to every word I said because they are from God. And things like that. And you cannot say anything back. Because people are under fear, indoctrination. There's also the subtlety of these traditional churches out there. We have been in this truth. It was handed down. Martin Luther to us. John Campbell to us. Wesley to us. John Knox to us. John Hertz to us. Whitfield came down and brought it to us. So and so, so and so, so and so. How can we be wrong? How could Trinity be wrong? That's what my Presbyterian friend told me. Now he's confused even about Godhead. As much as the Mormon is confused because they believe Jesus is God, his Father is also God, there are two gods. See? And yet today, the UPC is supposed to know about Godhead. And someone sent me a book, The Wonders of God. And I look at it, I know the author was a new PC. He said, look at this book, maybe you can answer. But you know what's in the book? The new PC doctrine of Godhead? I was talking to Sister Jenny, wife from Hamad. It's about the knowledge. And the people in the message still do not know. They said, well, yeah, one God, one God, one God, one God. But many of them believe in the oneness of God. Now, I told you this before. I want you just to understand. We believe in one God, and we believe in the oneness of God. But the UPC believe in the oneness of God, and they call it one God. And that's different. You know what is the oneness of God, and what is one God? I believe one God, and that one God is Yahweh or Jehovah. I believe in Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's not God as like the Father, except what the Father has given Him. I'm God. You are God. You know Jesus said that? When the word of God come to you, the prophet, are they not called God?
Yes.
Even prophets say, you're little gods. You're little Messiah. Because of the word. But we are not as God as God is. Jesus is not God as God is. Because Jesus was born. God wasn't born. Now when I said this, people say, wow. You're saying that Jesus is not deity. I didn't say that. Jesus Christ, when He was born, He was divine. When was deity took place? When did deity took place? Some say He was already born a God. Baby Jesus was God. Really? Deity came down in the River Jordan. The day that you are born again, you receive the Holy Spirit. Deity came into you. Or else you don't have eternal life. Only that we are part and members of that one body. But in Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead in Him. That makes the difference. And between God and the Son, there is the oneness. But there are two. But there are not two gods. Do you understand that? Do you see that? But UPC and many of them think that Jesus is His own Father. You know, when I studied the one God doctrine back then, I was wondering, oh, okay, there's one God. But then who was Jesus praying to in the garden of Gethsemane? And some of them said, yeah, God, Jesus praying to Himself because God is in Him. But I said, Jesus looked up into the heaven. He lifted up His head. How can you pray to yourself? No, God is in me. God prays to God in me. In me. Because God is an entity. God is a being. He has a throne up there. I know He is everywhere because He's omnipotent. He's not everywhere because He's like air floating around. Like I used to tell people, you say God is everywhere, that means in my pocket, God is, there is God. God is everywhere. When I open my mouth, God is in my mouth. God is in my nostril. God is in my ear. God feels everything. When you talk like this, what is God? Everywhere. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you come to the truth and you study the truth, don't let fear, don't let tradition scare you. The Bible said, God said, come, let us reason together. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Now that's what people are saying, well, you can reason with God, and that's what Grandma told me. They are preachers, not here, St. Paul, but the overseas. Is that the reason with God? I said, of course, you know, the Bible said, you tell me that you can take the, quote the brother, brand, the words of brother, and reason it. I said, sure. God even asked me to reason with him. Not just with Bob Abraham. If Bob Abraham is alive today, I'll tell you why. I'll visit him every day, and I have a theological discussion with him. Because we like to sit and talk. So how do you reason? Then how you reason? Good, bad reasoning, whatever. You reason, you look into the Word. You reason according to God. God reason with you with His Word. How is that you are a sinner? You, what the Bible said, don't your skin be as scarlet. You are the bloody person. A killer, a criminal, a denier, born wicked, born evil. I know some people say, I'm not a criminal, but again, I mean, have you ever thought evil things in your head? Have you ever? You know what Jesus said? If you look at a brother and you throw a dagger in him with your eyes, evil thoughts in him, you already killed him. You already murdered. Is it not true? Yeah. You covered something in your thought. You're already a covetous person. You look at a woman and lust after her, you already committed that adultery. So you think that I'm not a killer, I'm not a murderer, what? And though your sin be as scarlet, yet they can be white as snow. How is it possible? Huh? That's why it takes God reasoning to let that he can exonerate you from your sin by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I think I like about the Word. And so when we come to the Word of God, the number one thing, we want to get our facts right. Now, you saw in the paper, what our MP Shamugan, I like him, you know what about this man? Now all the things that were saying about Singapore, this and that, and even the reason 2 days ago, I think it was 2 days ago, about something about the drug issue. People over there in America, whoever, the human rights, they say, no, you cannot discriminate about these drug things. You discriminate, you bring bad results in all these things, and she got it all wrong. We need to get our facts right. If we don't get our facts right, we throw it out. It's very hard to retract. Think about it. In the world today, how many millions, what's the population of the world today? What's the population of the world? 7.7, 7.8 million. I think it's growing maybe with the change of weather, people are dying even so. Okay, almost 8 billion. 7.7, 7.8. How many million of the world population are Christian? Well, we include all Christians. Christian are people who hold to the Bible, they say they are Christian, okay? Regardless of denomination. There are almost 2,000 denominations, plus all the others, divided sects, almost 33,000, 34,000. Smaller group. Right? They include us as one. All this group here and there. About 2 billion people in the world for themselves Christian. Out of these 2 billion, 1.2 billion are Catholic. Okay? So that's a lot, isn't it? And what about, well, Christian people? Almost 700 million in the world for themselves Christian. Excluding the Catholic, yeah? So we are. People are religious, of course. And I tell you, never be religious. Don't ever believe. Now look in the Bible. Into the Bible, get the facts right. So now, let us trace back some of the things that we said last week. Let us go to the book of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now I said this before, that if we want to enter into the peace of God, into the understanding of the Word of God, it is necessary for us to reject, to shake off the many traditions and doctrines that we held so high, or even consider it sacred. You don't believe that God is a Trinity. And you know what some denomination believe? But it traces back to the Catholics, of course. That if you deny the Holy Trinity, you don't have eternal life. Where did it come from? And all this big God up there because of their square head. Not all of you square head. I don't know how many have a square head. But those with square head, coming out of theological school, they think that they know everything. And have to formulate some kind of a saying. Those who do know, those who deny the Trinity, let him be anathema. And things like that. You have no hope for eternal life. Now, we read this verse here, these two verses here. Israel, how was it that the people in those days, when Jesus came, they did not recognize him as the Messiah that they were looking for? How is it that they did not recognize? You know, when John the Baptist came out from the wilderness, now he is a very controversial person. As much as Brother Abraham was a very controversial, even is today, a controversial person. Why was it? Well, I was called a controversial person also by those in Africa. Now, because there is a difference from what we believe in that moment of time, in that period of time, when John the Baptist came up from the jungle, we call it jungle, called the wilderness, and started to preach. Now, the Pharisees and the certain religious people look at him. This is unlike anything that we ever seen. A man who came up from a wilderness with camel ropes, camel skin over him, and looked very unkempt and eating locusts and honey. He came out and he went to the city of Jerusalem, over to the Bethlehem and screamed. And then he goes by. He came out again a few more days and screamed. And got people to repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And the Pharisee looked at him and said, "What?" You know, but the mercy of the Hebrew was so strong that some of them said, "There may be something truth in this." Huh? But they still hold on to their tradition. And those that feel that there might be something here, step into the water, say, "Hey, John, baptize me. Baptize us." John looked at them. John didn't baptize them. Because John wasn't stupid. And he told them, "First of all, you bring forth fruit, meet for repentance, then I will baptize you. For the axe is laid to the root. There's no true repentance if you don't cut off your sin, cut off all that you are in your life. I won't baptize you." Right? Well, here came Jesus later on. Now, John the Baptist didn't do any miracles. Not even one miracle. Not even one healing. He only preached repentance. Repentance. But he was waiting, he was telling them, he was preparing. He said, "I'm the one whose voice is crying in the wilderness to prepare you for the coming of the Messiah." Messiah came. Messiah do everything, preach the word, heal the sick, open blind eyes. What? The Pharisees said, "You see, you know, every time you live in a country where there's some sensation, people are flocking to see what's going on. Just that the reason why you fought $54 only for every senior citizen. Look, wow, every more, whether it's a white star, even a challenger star, happy people." Now, I didn't know about it until late afternoon. I heard about what happened. Now, if I were there in the war and see what sort of people are killing them, yeah, I would be curious to find out, say, what's going on? So everybody has some sensation. Whether it be a big sale or something happened out there. I know, you know what, we all have typology. We all have people who are very busybody, that is. We want to find out what's going on here, what's going on there. When you see an accident on the road and you get traffic jams, and what's going on, man? You know, you go past the accident, you drive, the driver also wants to see what's going on. Human nature. So when Jesus came, right there, they start to find fault with him. Because Jesus Christ did not come through their denomination. If Jesus was to come through as a member of Sanhedrin, as a member of Pharisees, and perform miracles, hey, the Pharisees will have their heads thrown up. You know, we have the Messiah here with us. Sure, isn't it? We have this great prophet here with us. I used to see some of those over in Africa. They're bodyguards. They're bodyguards. And even the Pope have bodyguards. And even some of the charismatic leader, preacher have bodyguards. Jesus walked around with his bodyguard. What was his bodyguard? He had no bodyguards. And when he sensed that the crowd wanted to kill him, he just quickly slipped away. Went off to preach another day. He didn't stand on it. Want to stop me on the kidney? Oh, go ahead. As some foolish people would do. That says, no, we'll live to fight another day. That's right. You hear? You read the report of Brother Shagrag in India? Right? How the Lord walked with him. There are troubles. And the pastor says, stay in the hotel. Don't go out. Don't. We cancel our meeting today. Not son of my boss. Hey, let me go out there and do all these things. Oh my. You think that you are some great prophet? Unless God speak to you, you don't be foolish. But that's what we have today. That's what we have today. People who doesn't know how to move in the Spirit. Here are these two verses. Let's read again. The Lord was our schoolmaster. Now why did the Pharisees not recognize Jesus Christ? They still hold on to the law and hold on to the law. They found Jesus Christ eating, plucking, eating without washing hands. What? You break the law. Or Moses. No, Moses didn't say that. It was their tradition. They interpreted that. Oh, you heal on the Sabbath? You know, the Bible said, do not walk on the Sabbath. And you say, you hypocrites. When the sheep fall into a ditch on Sabbath day, you will take it out. What about this son of God? Which is worth more than a sheep, than a goat, than a cow? You see, the problem is that the law, the reason why the children of Israel do not recognize truth, because they're holding on to tradition. They're holding on to ritual. The law of Moses was given them was not the way that they were having it. It was interpreted by some rabbi, some teacher. It's a hand-me-down thing that, you know, they preach about. They indoctrinate the people. You know, I think I like what Jesus said, you know, what you eat. Actually, our life is that we have two ends. The top end and the rear end. What the food goes down in the top end comes out in the rear end. Isn't it? So, do what Jesus has said is true. What goes in comes out. But what comes out from the mouth? What comes out from the mouth? That is what condemns it. That is the true character. That's why sometimes you hear people speak the prayer mind when it's spoken, you know, you can get all those gems that came out from their mouth. Gems. The word that they say. And many of those people whom I know, like those two men on my website, they had a photograph where they're sitting at the table. They're no longer around. But they were 100% sure of what they believe. Say what Brother Branham say. And so on and so on. Where are they today? What holds me, brother and sister? Is this word. I stay in line with this word. The token is mine. It's the snow white dove that leads me into this. The love of God for the word. We'll talk about love later. Because there are a lot of people who doesn't know love. What true love is. Now, let us go on to the next subject, next topic. Now the last few weeks, there have been, while I was preparing my sermon, and that's why, you know, I was thinking, well, I would have probably 2 Sundays to deal with this understanding subject. But somehow, you know, I received texts, there were more questions. There were feedback, there were comment. And even from some of you, when we were fellowship together, before service, after service, I get what's in on your mind. Right? So what I'm saying to you today, let me say this. I speak to none of you in particular. Got it? I speak to none of you in particular. Yet I'm speaking to all of you in particular. That you may understand how to look into the Word of God. Don't let your emotion run wild by your feeling. Over the years, I got a lot of feedback. Good ones, bad ones, funny ones. Yeah. I have even people come and tell me, "Brother Gan, you know, when you preach, this is what you should preach. This is how you should preach. You should conduct the church like this, this, this." And you're telling me what to preach. You know, all in my room where I have my study desk, my office, so to speak, I had a picture card. You know, sometimes you go to a shop, you can buy a picture card like the one that says, I'm the chef in the kitchen. The wife would say, "I'm the chef in the kitchen. What I cook, you eat." Stuff like that. Go to bed, eat something like that. You know, all this. You know this card. I have one. You know, let's say suggestion are welcome. Suggestions are welcome. In a small wood below, they are all good for a laugh. They are all good for a laugh. That's true. Some people tell you what to preach and how to preach and what to preach and this and that. Don't say this, don't say that. You hurt people, you do this and do that. Don't. Well, that was back some years back, and I was thinking, okay, they are telling you what to preach and how to preach. I told one brother, I said, "Let me tell you this. If God called you to preach, then you should be the one that keeps preaching. Do you think it is easy to preach the truth? If you're telling me what to preach, how to preach, it will become very, very much like denomination. It hurts nobody because they don't want to tell the truth. That's why when you come to a church and if I were to preach about ministry, it hurts people. Is that alright? Sure, cut it off your head. Don't. When you do, and when I said that, it hurts people. About makeup, especially sister, it hurts people. Sure. So when you tell the truth, people don't like it. They run away. And so Brother Bram was called a woman hater because of what he preached. Yeah. And I've seen a church changes over the years. When I was a denomination and Assemblies of God. Back then in the 60s, the sister that the believer there, they wear long skirt, it covers the knee below. They don't put makeup. Or of course the hair, they don't cut short like many women cut today, just up to the shoulder they have, but today, the Assemblies of God is gone. Because you don't want to say anything that drives people away from church. Let them come. Why let them come? So that
they could have more money.
Which is why Robin said, the moment he talked about money, you know, he said, is that what a problem about money? He will leave the ministry. And there's one thing about the money, it's the root of all evil. Because why? You won't want to preach the truth anymore. You just want to please the people, you want people to come. And that's what it is. So what I'm going to say, maybe if I don't say it today, or I don't bring it out today, maybe I'll do it next week. Let me say this. As I said, I'm not saying this. I said this to none of you in particular. But yet to all of you in particular. Not only this, but to those overseas. They have come and give me a command, feedback, and whatever. They want to know. And that's why I have more subject than I thought I could finish it today, but I think it will be extended over the years. Alright, now, let's go to one of the subject now today. Then I will jump to that. Let's go to the issue of, well, John chapter 13, verse 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Can somebody read this? Brother Henry.
Then he came to Simon Peter and spoke to him and said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is faith needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean.
Good. This was one of the questions that was asked and was discussed about 3-4 weeks ago. You know, the issue came out. Only was because of what I wrote and what I preached and what I believe in, what the Bible said. Now, there will always be minister, there will always be believer who believe what they have believed, and they're not going to change. But they're trying to find a way out. So let me ask you this about a communion and foot washing. They always talk about communion and full washing, not full washing and communion. It's always the other way around. And because Abraham practiced communion first and then full washing, so all those who are followers of Abraham in all the older groups and churches, they will do communion first and then full washing. So I say, don't do that. I'm not complaining. I'm not saying that you're wrong. No, I'm saying that you're right. Just a water baptism. You want to wash a person in the deep pool up to the chest and dunk him like this and come out? That's okay. I don't say that it was right or that was wrong. You want to put him back, right or wrong? I'm not saying that's right or wrong. Are you want to put him the same way? Are you want to put him forward? Am I complaining? Is that a proper way to baptize a person? Must put him backward because we're all very backwards. There are people who are very not backwards necessarily. Huh? What is that? The Bible says immersed. Baptism means immersion, cleaning. So what's the big deal? Must be done this way, this and that. And there are people who tell me, then brother again, it is that you must baptize a person in running water. So, well, I know you're going to find running water here in Singapore. Go out to where we get a big river. Is there any, did you know, is there any big river flowing that is public for us that we can go there and baptize a person? Well, unless you've got River Jordan, that's running water. Because it's always continuing running. So in Singapore, where do you want to find running water? Unless we go to the zoo, where there is water for, there is running water there. We say, where else do we find running water? Ocean water is not running water. It's not running water. It's tide and ebb, tide and ebb, back and forth. So you're telling me it should be running water. Oh, come on. You probably haven't baptized anybody in running water or baptized in the baptismal pool. What about those people who in Africa, the Brother John Marks over there in Karamoja in Uganda, when there's hardly any water, any rain at all, most of the time it's dry. So when the rain comes, the water was found in the river, and after what happened to the water? It's mixed with all those mud, and it becomes muddy. So they baptized them in mud, muddy water. It goes in. But they went in black and they came out brown. So is something wrong with that? As long as it's liquid, right? It's muddy water, no problem. Correct. A sinner went in, comes out muddy, but at least if he's a true believer, he's cleansed. But people have all sort of particular arguments. So now when it comes to this thing here, it's just about the same. Now I'm going to teach you how to look at it. Because you know, we're saying that feet washing came first. And Jesus Christ washed everyone's feet. All the 12 disciples' feet. They include Judas Iscariot. After that was done, Jesus then went to the table again and sat there. It was then that he instituted the communion. And it was there that the person who was to betray him was exposed. They were asking, which one? He said, the one who took the piece of bread or soap and dip with me in the soup or in the gravy. He's the one. And Judas is going to look at him. Judas says, what you have to do? Do it quickly. And he left the table. So there was only 11 disciples on the table. Right? So now here came a man, somebody arguing, asking questions. So now he said here, Judas Iscariot is saved. Judas Iscariot is saved. And how is Judas Iscariot saved? Well, Jesus washed his feet. So he must be saved. Okay. How do you get it? Okay. Look at it. How do you look at the Bible? But I want to show you how to really look at the Bible. First, verse 8. When Jesus came to Peter, I mean verse 6, 7. When Jesus came to Peter, Peter said, Lord, do you have to wash my feet? Because Jesus was washing one person by one person, right? Okay. Then he came to Peter. Peter said, do you have to wash my feet? Now Peter is always a cocky person. Huh? One thing about Peter is that he's hot-headed. He was so sure. That's one problem with particularly all Peters. We don't have a Peter here. But it seems that Peter, I know all these Peters, you know, that I met all these years. You know, they're headstrong, they think they know what they're doing. Okay, so this is Peter. I mean, he's a small little rock. It's not a big rock. So he thinks it's a small rock, he throws the rock up and down. I think he's, he knows to play a rock until he knocks his head. Until that's why he talks funny. So what we have here, right here, is that, do you know what's my feet now? Look at what Jesus said. Jesus answered him, if I wash you not, you have no part with me. Oh, see, brother. Jesus said that if I wash you not, you have no part with me. So Judas Iscariot was washed, so Jesus was a part with Christ. So he said, wow. That's one thing about it, it's true. It has been said that you can take the Bible, you can take any verse and you can preach anything. You can give it any interpretation you want. You can never, never, ever take a verse out of scripture and preach it like that. Neither can you take John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. There you go. I believe in Jesus. I have eternal life. If you come up to me, if I take that verse alone, hey Richard, are you a Christian? Well, I don't know what you call a Christian, but I believe John 3:16. I believe in Jesus Christ, so I have eternal life. Have you been born again? I mean, what do you mean by born again? The Bible says, I believe in Jesus Christ, I'll be saved, right? Oh, I don't know what is born again. Don't tell me all about that thing. Have you been baptized in Jesus? And don't talk about my baptism. I believe that one verse. I have eternal life, right? Just take the one verse. Uh-huh. And you see how it is? How dangerous it is just to take one verse. And if you look at the verse carefully and analyze the verse carefully, because you are looking at English word. And you need to have revelation. You need to understand. And yet in the Greek word, the word believe is means a total reliance upon Jesus Christ. When you totally trust in the person, you have to trust His word, not just that one verse. And what Jesus said to the rich young ruler? Now I come out of war and only Jesus Christ said, I'm not far from the kingdom of God, so all you have follow me. What? I have kept the law not enough. So all I have and follow you. Got to be kidding me. That's why you tell people about baptism in Jesus' name and that the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, you must be kidding me. My church and all the churches are using that Trinity name. You are telling me that was wrong. You must be wrong. Where do you come from? You must be a cop. What the church you come from? Prophetic revelation, exemplary fellowship? No wonder. Believe William Branham? No wonder. Listen. If that's how people will look at the world. But look at it what carefully what he says, okay? Because many times Jesus, when he explains something, he don't tell you in full the way it is in your questioning. That's why always Jesus got something to hide. Because he's not going to reveal to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. He wants to have those who are willing to learn as he prayed in the garden, right? Such that will learn. But if you're not willing to learn, you're not going to get anything. And I will always be a scholar until the day I die. I can never stop learning. People give me comment, feedback, complain, whatever it is. I look into it. I always go into the Bible. Say, Lord, show it. How to tell these people. What do you say here? Look at it. Okay? Watch it. Look, watch what Jesus said. Alright. Now put on your thinking cap. Put on your magnifying glass. If you cannot see your word, Jesus said, if I wash you not, you have no part with me. Okay? Now, that's why we people have short-sightedness. In the whole event, Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples, right? Correct. Now when it came to Jesus, Peter said, do you have to wash me? And Jesus said, if I wash you not. Now, why did Jesus Christ lift up the word feet? Peter said, do you have to wash my feet also? Jesus said, if I wash you not. He didn't say, if I wash not your feet. He lifted up the word feet. People say, oh, maybe that's not important because you know you're washing our feet. I mean, it must be indicating the feet. Really? Many times Jesus lift up some words. He expressed it in information, euphemism. How do you pronounce the word? Euphemism. It's a twister. Or the figure of speech or some kind of a expression. Particular expression. If I wash you not, you have no part with me. Look again. Some of Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only. But Peter was always at that thing. Now when we say about something, You know, we tend to look at, we are focused on one thing. But Jesus wasn't focusing on one thing. Peter said, not my feet only, but also my hand on my head. But look at what Jesus said. He that is washed need not be washed except to wash his feet, but is clean everywhere. And you are not, you are clean, yet not all. He's talking about being washed clean. He's not talking about the feet. Do you see the point right here? Peter said, do you need to wash my feet? Jesus did not say, if I do not wash your feet, you don't have a part with me. No. He said, if I don't wash you, you will have no part with me. If I cannot sanctify you with my word, if I cannot sanctify you with my blood, you have no part with me. We are cleansed by the word. We are cleansed by the Spirit of God. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are all clean, he said. But not all. He was referring to Judas Iscariot. Because he wasn't clean. Because he betrayed him. He's so innocent, blended. Do you see? Now, in verse 11, for he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. Why here Jesus Christ took a towel, got himself, and bent his knees? There's one thing about it I want to talk about later, maybe perhaps. Bend the knees. And it's very hard for many people to bend the knees. Anyone bend the knees has a lot of meaning. Humble yourself. The master bends his knees to be a servant to his servant. Think about it. The people want to be served. But Jesus Christ said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. He bent his knees. Wash the feet. Why the feet? And no wonder Peter is so cocky. Oh no, my feet only, my hand, my head. Jesus said, you all wash, you're already clean. Except the feet. Why the feet? Why? Let's go to the Old Testament. Exodus 29:4. This is the Old Testament. It's regarding the tabernacle of Moses. And it's really a good study always to study the tabernacle of Moses. One day we can come back and then talk about it again. It's one of my best subjects that I love very much from very young. The tabernacle of Moses, the prefiguration of Christ, his ministry, his life, your life, my life, in that tabernacle of Moses. And the children of Israel did not see it. Exodus 29:4. You are to bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Wash them with water. Now, you know about in Hebrew, this is actually practically a mikvah. They call it mikvah. Somebody who is of age, clean him. Take him to the water, pour water in him, and let him wash himself clean. This is what the priest must do. Moses told, God told Moses, take Aaron, the high priest, take all the priests, bring him there to the brazen laver where it's contained water, and wash them. Moses took the water, poured upon them, and they washed them. Before they wear their priestly robe. Okay? And that's only one time. One time only. Not every time. How many times do you have to be baptized? You have done right? How many times? Do you go to baptism every time? Some people say, you know, after 5 years, you know, but again, I've sinned. Maybe they come to me and say, but I've sinned. I've actually, you know, so terrible. I don't know where I'm born again. I'm like, can you baptize me again? So you take him to the water and baptize him again. After another few years, you know, he was with us for 1 year, left the church and come back again. But again, I think I didn't need to be baptized again because I don't think I'm clean. How many times does a person need to be baptized? only once. Right? How many times did Jesus die for you? In a Catholic church? Jesus died every Sunday. Every time, you know, what? Christ died for once. You baptize only once. You confess your sin and repent of everything that you need to do to be saved only once. The rest is your walk. Your walk, what it has to do with the feet, it represents your daily walk with the Lord. Got it? Your feet must always be washed, not literally in the sense of washing. Let's go to another verse. Verse Exodus 40, 40. Verse 31 and 32. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat, that is at the brazen level, when they went into the tent of the congregation. And when they came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. So every time they come before the Lord to do service before the Lord, they go to the level, wash their feet. Only their feet. You got it? They don't go and wash the whole body again. No. They go there, take the water, wash the hand, wash the feet. And they go into the tent and minister before the Lord. But when Jesus did that to the disciples, he's telling them, your walk must be holy. Your walk before the Lord in righteousness. It's a godly walk. Are you getting it? Do you understand? Let me go to another point. Then I'll close. Then I'll bring next week. Okay? Here, well, still a lot of people do not quite understand the issue about this particular fellow called Cain. Well, you know, sometimes when I preach something and I brought it up again, some people say, oh, but again, I already heard that. You have been saying that a few times already. I want more different message. But because I like you when you are young, when you yell and you shove and you jump and you punch. And then I'm old. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, if you go back, you've struggled with me, you know. I was young, I'm in my 30s. I preach, I'm still preaching hard. But some people don't like to learn. They like those yelling messages. No, no, no. There are time for yelling. There are time not to yell. There are time to learn properly and listen. Right? A lot of people like yelling. And that's what you see in charismatic churches. A lot of Hollywood shows. You know, men dress in robes like a millionaire because the Heavenly Father is multi-millionaire. So they dress the one. I wonder how Jesus dressed. He dressed in such a way he never got attention from people, right? He went in the marketplace, nobody knew who he was. Oh, he's a carpenter's son. He dressed like a common man. Sometimes I wonder if I should go and get a robe from this religious one, the white one, and you know, with the collar here black, and come up with a big cross. And then come up with a hand like this. And maybe you pay more attention. You know, people are religious, they like religious icon, they like religious movement, the holy movement thing. Ah, oh, come on. Do you think Jesus walked? You know, he practiced to walk, how to walk, how to preach, how to say. Now you know that if you go to Bible school, they teach you how to speak, how to deliver a message. They teach you all that. Because it's an organization. Just that you enter, you join an organization, how to market, how to sell. Right? Those of you who are in the selling business, yeah, you know how to deal with it. So now when you talk about Cain, you heard of it before? Okay, there will be me, because there are others on the website. There are those also who still do not understand. Cain, being a hybrid, how come he could reproduce? And that has always been a hard time for people to grasp. How was Cain, a hybrid, could reproduce? And we know that we already said, and I think there's nobody who actually detailed it, except what I detailed in my book, Original Sin. And also in the book, The Religal. And the book, Religal, was quite a challenge because of what the man in Nigeria, Amos, who started picking on me on all the things, when I didn't even know this guy, as I say, because he was with Brother Jackson, he was believing in the chief apostle and the leading apostle, he comes here, the leading apostle, and he preached all that and attacked me, and I didn't bother about it, because I know this man had nothing. Until the problems started. Such a mess, such an influence that he had upon the Nigerian churches there who knew me, and even some of them were so taken astray by his teaching. Well, you know what? I'm so tired of it. The brother, called me up as I said this. Do something, brother, again. Please do something. Actually, I want to give it up. I said, do what? Write what? I said, write something. I don't know what I want. No, write something. And what was already so, sometimes you feel like throwing your hand in the air, says, give it up. Let these people go their way. In the moment I sat down and opened up my Microsoft Word, the one word that entered into my mind, really go. You know, sometimes you just wonder, what happened? What? It doesn't make sense. I sat down and opened my Microsoft Word and just sit there. And the word just came. It's really good. Why? Buy back. Yeah, I know. Buy back. So what? When the Sunday was speaking, God was speaking to me, bring the people back. Bind them back to my word. And I go and look at all his piles of books that he sent me from UK. A few times he sent it to me, I always throw it into the one of my shelf. So until then, I took it out. One of the books is here. The rest in my home. I figured out, okay, I pick it up and where he argued and how he argued. And that book came out. It details all those things that many were surprised. And many of them was corrected and came back to the truth. Now we need to examine the word carefully. So now, in the book of Genesis chapter 1, now we know that when God created the universe, then he created the earth. Upon the earth, the first thing that ever was created, now that's millions of years ago. That's not 6,000 years ago, huh? 6,000 years ago is when present man came, that was Adam. But before that, millions of years ago, common sense will tell you, even science will tell you, that the earth cannot have life until there is oxygen. And God in His great mighty, in His omnipotence, that He can, with all that knowledge, create an earth, slowly bring forth the dust, whatever it is, microorganism, plant organism, and little plants and grasses start to grow so that there will be oxygen. Now you talk about it, I said, so you want people find hard to believe. The same question applies. Chicken come first or egg come first? It must be something that started something. Where did chicken come from? Chicken come from egg, so but who come first? So there must be a chicken first to produce egg. To produce more egg, produce more chicken. So the same thing. For there to be oxygen, God must create grass upon the soil. Microorganisms. So, and this grass will, with the sunlight, God has photosynthesis or whatever you want to call it. Don't tell me. Now, I don't want to lecture you about botany. Yeah? You know, chlorophyll and stuff like that, the sunlight and all this. Photosynthesis. You know photosynthesis, right? Some of you already passed, you don't know. And that's when you come out with carbon dioxide, oxygen, and this and that. So the air is there. It takes. God has. Well, God is not in a hurry. Because in eternity, there's no time. God did not say, what time is it? To the angel, let us have, take a break and a cup of tea. Then we continue next. No. Then God has no time. Because there is eternity. Huh? One day with all that's 1,000 years or so, you know that. So you go create, and then after that, you create all those worms and whatever, that insect. And then the creeping thing, then the birds, then the animals. Right. So the good thing is, there is the plant kingdom. There's the animal kingdom. And finally, there's the human kingdom. And in chapter 1, verse 27, the Bible tells us this. And there is one verse that I want you to always pay attention. And if you discuss with people, point to that verse. Genesis 1:27. Let us make man in our own image. And after our likeness, and God created man in his own image, and after his likeness, and so on and so forth. Let us create man in our own image. And after our likeness. Create him in our image after our likeness. Well, we already showed you this. And don't look at the English word alone. Because those two words, likeness and image, are two different words in Hebrew. Sidlam and Bimut. Two different words. But the problem is, a lot of people read English and hear somebody say, well, likeness and image is the same word. I look in the mirror, that's my image. I look in the mirror, that's my likeness. I mean, the English word is something like that, looks alike. Hey, the guy looked like me. You know, I have been in a taxi a few times back in the 80s when I was flying. I was in a taxi. And the taxi driver, you know, picked me up early in the morning, go to the airport. The taxi driver looked at me. After a while, you know, he keep on looking at me. And a couple of them. Says, are you related to the MP? You know, there's MP. He looks like me. He looked at me. Are you the brother? You know, yeah, I mean, there's always somebody out there who looks like you. Do you know that? You know, my brother here looks like my dad, you know. He looks more like my dad than any other brothers. That's true. There's someone out there. And the other day, I was out there. I thought I saw Joshua in the interview. The hair and all that. Only that he doesn't have a speck. I mean, they always, and also Brother Jonah, nah, there are people who look like that. So there is always this likeness. So that's not the image. Always called likeness. So we should know what image and likeness are two different words. So we need to understand that. So we are creating God's image, and that is the first important thing. And people don't understand. And when God created Adam in the image, in his own image, he was invisible. He was a spirit. Then let God take the dust of the earth and form a body. And put Adam into that. And man became a living soul. Now that's the likeness. What likeness? Because in the beginning, the Logos that came out of God has a shape like that. Yeah. You know the angels looking at? They all have a spirit body, eh? They look like this, but not physically. And you can't see them. Unless they materialize. You got what I'm saying? Right. Now if you are a spirit, you can go through water. But if you are a spirit, you cannot eat. You got it? Now, I'm not a spirit. I cannot go through the wall. I'll just blank myself. I can't go through the wall. Hey, but I can eat. I love durian. I can eat. I love mango. But the angels, being a spirit, cannot eat. Got it? Until they materialize. Now, when we have in the future, when you have a spiritual body, like Jesus Christ, hey, you can go through wall and you can eat. We get the best of two worlds, huh? So you think about it. Do you understand now they're different? So now, so the Bible said, let everything bring forth its own kind. Now this, the Bible spirit said, let everything bring forth its own kind. The Bible did not say anything else. The Bible did not say, if you mix seed, you'll die. The Bible never said that. The Bible said, everything bring forth its own kind. That's the law of God. So God will have to say the other side. Remember this. The same thing. The two trees, knowledge of good and evil, we know they don't grow from the ground. Right? And what God said to Adam, the day that you eat of this tree of good, knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die, right? That's why he said. He didn't say, if you eat the tree of life, you will live, and you will live, and you will live, and you will live. The Bible doesn't tell you that. That's why I said, some words, God doesn't have to give everything. He just say what is necessary for a person whose spirit filled, whose Holy Ghost baptized, and have the desire to learn. God will learn what is you. God hides a lot of truth from the wise and the prudent. And Jesus can say, thank God, Father, that you reveal to bit and such that would learn. That's true. But everything brings for its own kind. Anything, therefore, when we look at what the Bible said, if God said everything brings for its own kind, therefore, to mix it is definitely not God's desire. It will be contrary to the Lord. Is that right? So now, we know the Cain was a mixie. The question is, how then did he, was he able to marry a house sister and give birth to sons and daughters? How then was it possible? Because the day that you eat of it, thou shalt surely die. The Bible talks about eating, partaking of something that is not allowed to be partaken. Now again, very strange in her. We know what it was. The other few weeks ago when a Joe Williams came to my door, a Caucasian woman and a Chinese woman, and tried to talk to me about Joe Williams' doctrine. She said, no, preacher, let me give you this book. And would you open your mind and read this book? You look at it. She said, do I have to return to you? I said, no, you don't have to. I said, I want you to read it. Sincerely read it. And maybe share with her and talk about it with somebody else. Would you? Okay. I don't know whether she's really reading or maybe reading the first few paragraphs. This is not true. This can't be. Why are people so afraid to read? Well, I read all kinds of books, you know. I read a little bit of the Quran. I read a little bit of Buddhism, how they, what they're believing in. Hinduism too. You know, it's good for you to understand a little bit what to believe. Do you understand how good God is to you for coming to know the Savior? Is that right? So now they were telling me, oh, it's a good, it's a tree. And the dove, and the serpent said, oh, look at the tree, look at the fruit. Isn't it nice? Now, if you were to live in a garden, and you have a nice garden, or you meet somebody in a garden, and the garden has hundreds of fruit trees, all different kinds. Okay? Now, you walk down, apple, red juicy apple. Does a red juicy apple really tell you? You go out of an orchard, mango. Ooh, nice now. Does it really tell you? You go to a durian tree, you say, what on earth is this peculiar? Smells terrible. Does it really tell you to eat? What about a dragon fruit? The first time I saw a dragon fruit, what on earth is that? Some people say, hey, it's good, good try. But you know, the first time they came, it was all the gray stuff that doesn't have any particular taste. Then the one that came in said, this is red. I said, well, my bloody red. You know, if you cut it, the red just comes, it stains your clothes. So, wow, what is that? How is it? So, this one is sweeter. I said, oh, I don't know. Does it tell me? Does any fruit really tell me? He said, ooh, in the night, blah, 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 blah. Do you really think about the fruit every time you eat it? And then you eat it and you get, you come here to sin. But that's all, what did it tell you? But we know and we already understand what the Bible says. The two trees do not come up from the ground. The Bible is specific. The Bible said every tree that comes up from the ground that is good for food, you can eat it. Every tree. Then the Lord God interjected these two trees. And the tree of life. And the tree of knowledge and good of evil. In the midst of garden. The Bible just mentioned that. And God said, don't touch the tree of good and evil. That's all he said. Oh, three are brown ones with trunk and green leaves and fruits. That's all they think about. Tradition has put a poor people into all that. That is very hard to remove it. You can go and witness to 100 of them and you find it hard even for one to believe it. Either they don't want to believe in it or they just simply say, no, maybe it's true, maybe it doesn't matter. They will say all these things. And then someone will say, you're telling me that a woman, a human woman, has sex with an animal? With a snake? That's terrible. What kind of a twisted mind you have? A woman having sex with an animal? What the Bible tells her everything. Why don't they look into facts? Right? Cain, where did he get the spirit to kill? If Adam was his father, and Adam was the son of God, where did he get the spirit? And Jesus Christ said in the book of John to the Pharisees, you are a father of the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. Who was he speaking about? Why can't people see that? Who started polygamy? So all these are facts. Now, the only thing is this. Why did Cain get the spirit to worship God? Now, animals do not worship. Animals do not worship. But there are a group of churches out there in America that believe so. They said the serpent, the beast of the field, the Bible said, in other places in the Old Testament, they are referring to the Negro. They said a Mormon church. And some of the white church in America, they do not allow black people in the church. The black people can never become a Mormon. Huh? Because the black people are kinky, huh? Big lips, big nose. So that they could work in the field. When they work hard, they blow their nose. All their oxygen goes in, you know. That's what they believe. They're kinky hair, that's why. What's the kinky hair? And they will tell you that the structure of the head, the skull are different from us. What? The white men. They're different from us. And of course, you look at the skull, you're filled. Look at my skull. My skull is different. Don't you think that our skull is different? Didn't you know that our eyes are different? Huh? Mongolian eyes. And science are telling us now, hey, those people in Europe, they actually have Asian blood. How do they have Asian blood? Of course they have Asian blood. Because they were all right down in the Middle East before they migrated out. Right? They already intermixed, some of them have the DNA of this Asian too. I won't be surprised if you take my blood and the DNA and all this thing, I might be traced. all the way back. To whom? To whom? To Shem. Right? Anyone that has to Ham. I don't know how much pigs is that before they start migrating out. You see, they are pure, or they are those that are so mixed. So we do not know. We cannot say that we are pure. Very hard to say we are pure. Unless you're ready to do a DNA test. So, Cain got that worship spirit from his mother, Eve. Right? And got the murderer spirit from his father, the serpent. So he was able to worship. That's why he was able to worship. Animals do not worship. Some people tell me that they do. The wolf. Woo! Look at the moon and worship the moon. That's what they believe in. I mean, look, we have animals like the cockerel. The crow, and when sun gets up. And some of them are quite funny. They even crow when the sun will come up. They even crow at night. Because they have to crow, the big noise. The wool, for whatever reason, they howl. They do that. So don't tell me the animal worship. Maybe go to the zoo and get the orangutan, orangutan. Please call it orangutan. Don't have respect to call it orangutan. If you get an orangutan, you know orangutan can be trained, right? Can do trick. Give him three joysticks. Put it in his hand. And teach him to do this. The orangutan will do that. Don't you think so? Yes. But that doesn't mean that he worship. The parrot can talk. Really? It's not called parrot for nothing. Huh? So don't just simply come up with all this stuff. Trace it and look at it. Now, Cain was half man, half beast, so to speak. Right? But Cain was like human. What was the highest of the structure of creation? Mankind. When the serpent and Eve mixed together, Cain was a serpent kind. Yet the spirit of man, of Adam, that was given to Eve when God took Eve from his side, right, was passed over to Cain. That's why Cain was able to worship God. And he looked so much more human than his father, the serpent. Now, remember this, God deal with mankind in the spirit and not in his physical side. No, God deal with you in the spiritual, not the physical. That's why here, you must be born again. Not that you can even say, go back to my mother so I come out again. No, you must be born again within. So which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. So he's a spirit. So God is dealing with man from the spirit. That's why Cain, whatever to take a half sister, married and reproduced. Because the death of the seed in Cain was the spiritual side, not the physical side. God spoke to Adam, the day that you eat of this, thou shalt surely die. Adam was not yet created in the physical. He was not given the body yet. He was in the spiritual. The commandment was given when he was a spirit. That's why it's so important for us that we, as believers now, children of God, we cannot mix this word that we are eating with the word of tradition. You got it? We can't. The moment you mix what is holy with unholy, it produces death. And you're telling me, Brother John, that the holy has no power to overcome the unholy? Now, some people say this sort of thing. Very common. They say what? People believe in restitution of all things. Remember the restitution of all things? restoration of all creation, all the creatures that died, all the criminals that died, all the bad guys like Hitler, like Eichmann, like Mao Zedong, like Stalin, like Kamat, all the evil murderers, rapists, they all will be restored back to God. You know what they say? You know how they say it? They say this, that the blood of Jesus Christ is more powerful than the devil, than sin. See how they say that? It's so powerful, they will wipe out all sins, all guilt. So if you say the man who sinned and doesn't believe in Jesus, go to hell and burn up, that means the blood is not all powerful. Have you heard about it? Perhaps not. But this is what people who want to have the love of God overwhelm everything, rule over everything, that even the wicked one will be restored back to God. As wicked as he was, as much as you reject Jesus Christ, rejected God, cursed God in the face, and they still will come after the Lord because of God's will. They like to say that. I mean, I wish everybody will go back to God. I wish all the chicken that I eat will also come back. I wish all the fish that I eat will also come back. And all the pesky cockroaches and lizards and spiders that I kill will come back. And the whole earth will be filled up. Yes. But you don't have this brain to think about. So now, in closing, when you get an animal, now in the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, and human kingdom, the plant kingdom, you can hybrid, huh? You hybrid orchid with another orchid species, you will. And you take a, look at it, what do you have? Today we have all these fruits, you take a, what is that, tangerine or something that you mix together, get something else, what is that? I don't know which produce what now, I can't remember. Huh? Nothing. Oh, you get different fruit and you mix together, you get something, some other fruit. And they still can reproduce. Right? This is plant kingdom. You got it? Huh? In the animal kingdom. Here is what? Where we have, they have spirits. They breathe through the nose. The plant do not. So in the animal kingdom then, a man was created after Cain was created. And God put Adam above the serpent, and he was to be the servant. He was the highest of all the animal kingdom, but Adam was higher, he rules over all. Right? So when the animal hybrid, they die. The seed died. You get a zebra. Some people say don't call it zebra, say call it zebra. Because it's zebra or I'm not zebra. I don't know how we get zebra. And you get a zebra and a donkey. You get a zedong. The zedong is dead. He cannot reproduce. You get a male zedong and female zedong. Cannot reproduce. The mule. Male donkey. Female horse. So the mule comes out with a horse head. Long ear like the donkey. But you take a mule and another mule together and breed. They cannot produce a meal. The seed is dead. The day you eat of it, thou shalt surely die. But the mankind, you mix with the animal. God deal with man. So that's why Cain can worship God. And yet God told him, if you didn't offer me right, if you had done it, I would have accepted. But because he was a hybrid, spiritually he's dead. He can never reconcile the truth. He will never accept the truth. That's why we talk about serpent seed today. We're talking about the religious people. Or in the day of Jesus Christ. The Pharisees, they're religious. They can never accept the truth. Those that are true to the core. They say, I was born a Pharisee, I was died a Pharisee. And if it wasn't for God, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ to meet Saul, on the road to Damascus, he will go his own way and be like the rest of the Pharisees. Is that all right? And you, me, why are you here today? If it wasn't for God, you would probably be somewhere doing some other thing. To your own disaster. So when man and animal come together, the death is in the spirit. Right? Cain was dead. We said, can I have revelation? And all the serpent seed line, none of them had the revelation to worship the true God. For a time, yeah, they worshiped Yahweh. But they offer, what did they offer? Yahweh offered the wrong thing. Like today, people worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was Jesus Christ? Oh, Jesus Christ was the second God of three gods. You get it? What else? What else do we have? In the faith that we have today, the end time message. And people are still doing the same thing. If you are truly born again, get back to this world. The Spirit of life will lead you back to Him. The Spirit of God will always lead you back to Him. Not to something else. Not to this world, that court, that system. No. And God means business. God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, we will reap. That's why God does not want interfaith marriage. You know what I mean by interfaith marriage? God always wants you to marry your own kind. Don't marry a Muslim. Don't marry a Hindu when you are a Christian. You're going to marry somebody of the same faith. Or else we have a problem. Especially when a child is born. And especially when two parties are head loggerhead. But of course there are stories where Hindu marry Muslim and Hindu practice Hinduism, Muslim practice Muslim, and the children, I don't know, leave them to decide. And they'll be torn apart. That's what the word, what to believe in. Amen. The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your truth. Take the word, O Father, and bring it on further. In our time of study, Lord, in our time of quietness and meditation, may our heart, O Father, Lord, rejoice. Not just our King David said, I was glad when he said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. But also, Lord, that our heart rejoice because of your word. That we will take time, Father, and spend time to read, study, for we may grow thereby. As you see the day of Christ fast approaching, and all the prophetic things that are coming to pass in the world, fulfilling now, unfolding itself. Father, we ask for your grace to bless every one of us and keep us, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.